And then he went on to say, you're going to have sorrow. Not just now, but there's sorrow ahead too. But you're also going to have joy that no one can take from you. So that's not talking about happiness. That's not Webster's definition of joy. What he's saying is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can always turn to me. You can always come to me. You can always find me. You can always ask your questions. I will always step into your doubts with you.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Welcome back, More Than Small Talk friends. We're glad you're with us this week, and we are going to do a little mini series on joy. And part of that is inspired by Susie's book, Joy Keeper.
Yeah. So I love that this comes after our conversation with Alexandra Hoover, because I think that there is a misconception out there about joy that can really make us feel very tangled when we feel sad or when things aren't going well. And I love what Alexandra said, is that you can trace the hand of God through not just the good times, but also the hard. And so I wrote Joy Keeper after a long season of sorrow and hard seasons. And I kept thinking, have you ever been in that place to where you're like, okay, I think things are getting easier now. And you start to take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. And then you get like sucker punched. And it's like, oh, here we go again. And I was in that season and I was trusting God with all of my heart. And I began to think, what is joy? Like, because if it's happiness and instant moment of pure exhilaration, you know, I'm not feeling that. Or if it's defined by my circumstances, well, that's not panning out either. So I began to redefine what joy looked like. And eventually, I don't know why God asked me to lift my books before I can write them. You know, I didn't go into the study of joy thinking, oh, I'm going to, you know, do a podcast with my beautiful friends about joy. No, I was seeking it. I was trying to understand it. I needed it. So that's what that came out of. And so I want to throw out this question before we begin. Like, what is your definition of joy?
I feel like it's moments of like that emotion and happiness, but it's also, I feel like untamed. You know, it's where you laugh and you throw your head back and you're not covering your mouth because you're afraid that someone's looking at you. It's just feeling that experience of elation fully without, you know, like squashing it or making less of it, but just being fully present in that moment.
Okay. What about you, Holly?
Yeah, I think joy is being able to say it is well with my soul, mm-hmm. despite my circumstances.
Yeah. Well, so I went on this study because there are times that when I just don't know what is up, I begin to look to the Word of God and I begin to say, okay, what do you say about this, Jesus? And I went to John chapter 16, I believe, and these disciples had been on this roller coaster of emotions. We're walking with Jesus. That's a high, high. Awesome. We're changing. Then came the cross. Very low, low. I don't know what's going on. Jesus had been telling them what was going on, but they didn't still expect what happened. So low, low, they're hiding behind a barred door, afraid because the very people who put Jesus on the cross are now after them. Another low, low. Jesus appears in the room with them in his resurrected body. High, high, you know, and he walks with them for several days. And in John chapter 16, he's saying to them, hey, listen, I got to go. And all of a sudden, they're like, what in the world? You know, we're up, we're down. What is coming next? We don't know. They're over there in a group talking among themselves. And this is, again, I'm in my own life asking some of the same questions. What in the world? Yeah. What's going on? Why is this so stinking hard? And why can't we just have a break? And it's a question asked out of absolute trust that I'll receive an answer. And it's a safe place. But what I loved in that moment is Jesus went into their questions with them and said, hey, you're asking what I mean. And he said, you're going to have sorrow, but you're also going to have joy that no one can take from you. And then he said it again in verse 24, you're going to have complete and abundant joy. And then he goes again in verse 17, he's talking to them again as he's actually praying over them. And he says to the Father, may they walk in my measure. And I'm paraphrasing this, but may they walk in my measure, a measure of my joy. And I begin to ask myself, okay, they're sad. They're not happy. Your circumstances are up and down. Lord, I feel the same way. And I looked at the core of that word in all three of those instances, and he wasn't saying, you're going to walk around just happy, you know? He said what it meant was that joy, biblical joy, was going to mean that they were going to intentionally walk into the goodness of God's character wherever they were. They were going to intentionally experience and encounter God in a measure greater than their circumstances, wherever they were. Future, past, present, hard, good. And I begin to, and I love Alexandra said this in our last interview. Please listen to that if you haven't. She said, I begin to trace God's hand, not just in the good, but in the hard. And I begin to do the same thing, is that if biblical joy is not happiness or an instantaneous moment, but it's intentionally leaning into the goodness of God right where I was at. What did that look like? And it changed things for me.
Yeah. So is joy an emotion? Like what exactly is
happiness is an emotion?
Biblical joy, yeah. You know?
It's a deep rooted sense of confidence in whose you are. It transitions from what I feel, which matters to God, by the way, because we're created to feel. But it's a transition from what I feel to what I know. Who are you, God, in this moment? Show me. Who am I to you in this moment? Will you show me? What are your plans in this moment? And your feelings are still there. They're still valid. There's still a safe refuge for them. They still matter to God because you matter to God. But biblical joy is not a fleeting emotion. It's a deep knowing.
That's good.
I was listening to a song on the way for my good. And it says, when pain tried to steal my joy, that's when I felt you more, like talking to the Lord. And I think that that's been the thing that I've seen the threads in my story is that you can be in deep pain and working through really hard things and feel this joy of God that does not make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense.
In the natural.
You cannot explain it.
No.
But it is. I think it is that God confidence.
It is.
You know, and just knowing like he's still there and I'm going to make it out of this.
Yeah.
Like probably with my hair singed, you know, because I'm in the fire and in the trenches. But like, there's something on the other side of this that's worth trusting God for.
Yeah. I was listening to Bema. Hope I said that right. It is a podcast that I absolutely love. And what it does is it kind of strips our westernized view of God away and shows us kind of a deeper view of it. And one of the things that it said is that the difference between a westernized, I'm just going deep here, girls, a westernized view of God and maybe the Eastern view of God, Jehovah God throughout scripture, is that when we see eternity, we see a destination, a place we're going. And that the way it really is biblically is eternity is a way of life, a way of living. That we have an eternal perspective. We have our eyes on God. We're asking, you know, whatever's in heaven, God, whatever's on your heart, how can we live that out right now, that eternal perspective? And I feel like that's part of this, is that when you're going through a hard season and things are not going well, it's easy to think that that's your whole life. But it's not.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt and that it's not hard. But this eternal perspective of God has me not just today, but he has me for always. And not only that, he is a God with no end, no beginning, no, I mean, it just, he is. And he said that over and over, I am, I'm right here. So how does that work practically? You know, I think that's important. I remember being at a place one day where I was just facing the carpet. And I was like, God, I'm tired. I'm really tired. It's been a lot. And I'm leaning in and I'm holding on. And I'm doing all the things I know to do, but I'm really, really tired. And I just, I sense that whisper of, what do you know? What do you know right now, Suze? And I thought, I know that I am safe in the refuge of your love. I know that I am seen. I know that you love the people I love who are suffering right now. I know that you're working on our behalf. I know. And just as I begin to step into those I knows, I feel like it shifted from this very small bubble that I had been living in because of circumstances to maybe see a little bigger picture of God in that moment. And I don't even know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but so, just redefining.
So joy can be something that we know, not just something that we feel.
Yeah.
So I think I struggle with joy sometimes because I was raised in a tradition where you're supposed to force yourself to feel joy, you know? Smile, God loves you. Like, if you're not happy all the time, you're not a good witness for Jesus. And so it feels like joy is something I have to manufacture to be a good Christian.
Isn't that exhausting?
Yeah. And as someone who struggles with anxiety and depression at times, mm-hmm. on certain days, impossible.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't conjure up the emotion that I was taught, you know, equals joy.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that? Like, what is our role in joy, I guess? Is it something that we have to read the scripture, be joyful always, and tell ourselves, I got to be joyful today.
Yeah.
Like, I've got to make that happen. Or is it something that we receive from God?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
We've talked about this before on this podcast, and I hope that this is not redundant to you as you listen, my sweet friend. But I think about the story of the three men in the fiery furnace, and this is something bigger than them. They did nothing wrong. They've trusted God. They're being thrown into the fire. It's so hot that the people on the outside of this fire literally perished instantly. That's how hot it is. Can you imagine somebody standing on the outside of that and saying, choose water? Choose water. It's the same thing that we're doing to people.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at them in the midst of either a fiery trial, or God has wired them beautifully. And part of that is that they lean into people and they lean into God, but it also makes them sensitive on other areas. And we look at those beautiful people created by God and say, you have to be happy like me. Choose joy. Choose joy, choose water. And I think it's ridiculous and it's not biblical. And I'm sorry, I'm getting like,
no,
but it frustrates me because it's pithy and it's not helpful. So when I go back to those three men in the fire, there's no way they could choose water. But there was one in the fire with them, a fourth man that appeared like the Son of Man. And in that moment, they chose the source of their joy. Holly, we can do that. We can't choose joy. We can't pull it from the air. We can. It's fake. Mm-hmm. We can pretend. We can put on a face to make others feel happy or appeased. But I can choose the source of my joy. And I can say to God, like I did that day, my face in the carpet, and just say, I am so tired. And God, I'm doing all I know to do. And I just need you. I just need you in this moment, right where I am, right as I am. And I couldn't choose joy, but I could choose him. And he met me there. And I think when I go back to the story I told in the first place about these disciples over in this huddle saying, what's going on? Why do you say that? What's happening? You know what? He didn't rebuke them for that. He said, the question that you're asking is, why did Jesus say that? Did he really say that he's leaving? And I love that so much because he stepped into their question with them. No rebuke. He clarified it. I think what you're feeling is this. And then he said, you have sorrow now. What does that say? I see your pain. I see your sadness. And then he went on to say, you're going to have sorrow. Not just now, but there's sorrow ahead too. But you're also going to have joy that no one can take from you. So that's not talking about happiness. That's not Webster's definition of joy. What he's saying is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can always turn to me. You can always come to me. You can always find me. You can always ask your questions. I will always step into your doubts with you. When you're persecuted, you're not going to be alone. And one day when you stand in front of me, we're going to look back and you're going to trace my hand in your life from the beginning till now. So it's redefining joy. I'm preaching. I'm sorry.
I love it. So what would you say to the woman right now who has not felt joy in such a long time? Mm-hmm. And she's just aching and hurting and feels like God's forgotten her in the midst of her pain or her situation, whatever. What would you say to her about the hope of joy, the promise of joy?
Yeah. You know, I looked at a scripture the other day, and I wish I could remember where it was found, but it talked about God naming the stars, billions of stars, and then he knew them all by name. He saw every one of them. And I remember thinking at that moment as I was reading that scripture, not only does this God see all of the stars, billions of them, seen to the eye, unseen to the eye, but that means that we're not lost in the crowd either. And I take a lot of joy in that, that biblical joy I'm talking about. I find a lot of joy in that, a measure of joy bigger than my circumstances, a measure of joy bigger than what I can even understand or grasp. And this is joy that cannot be taken from me. So I would say to her, first of all, you're not lost in the crowd. You are not. You are not unseen. You are not invisible. And God knows you and sees you and loves you. And I love this too, is that he is near. He's very near. And he's not asking you to pretend like everything is okay, because it's not. But he is inviting you to lean into his love for you in that season, to find a measure of joy that's deeply rooted, that no one can take from you. Well, this is the beginning of our conversation. We're going to talk more in our next episode, and I hope you stay with us. It's kind of like a mini book club, right? I ended up writing about this, and what's odd, or I don't know, maybe it's just the way God works with me, I ended up walking through a couple of more years, even after this came out, and it held me. It held me. It holds me still. And it's not something that's fleeting. And so we'll go deeper into maybe what toxic joy might look like, or the expectations that people might put on us that can cause us to feel like you did, Holly. Like, I just have to pretend to be happy so others can feel good about themselves. I don't know. we'll go deeper in that. But I want to pray for that woman. We prayed last episode with Alexandra Hoover. Maybe we're just in a praying season, but I'm going to pray for that woman right now who you just described. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your daughter. You know her by name. You are near and you love her. And I just pray, Father, that if she has been in a place of trying to push it down, trying to pretend, trying to put on something so that others will feel appeased, that she'll feel an invitation to walk into your presence, holy as she is, with her tears, with her hard questions, with honesty, with abandon. And that you'll meet her there, Father. And I thank you for the journey that you will take with her, step by step, side by side, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.